Hey everybody, this is David, and this is episode 5 of our podcast, and we usually talk about superhero things and other things if we can, but today is going to be an all-out superhero thing because, what can I say, it's the stuff that we love the most. And with me I have Derek.
Hello world, I'm back.
That's right, me and Kevin were on last week's episode by ourselves. So, Kevin, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Kevin. That's it.
That's plain and simple. And, here we are, episode 5. We are talking about superhero TV shows. We're going to talk about this list that SuperheroHype.com came up with, the 10 best superhero cartoons. We're going to add in our little thoughts on some of them, as well as other cartoons, superhero-related cartoons that we thought should have made the list. And then we're going to talk about some of the season finales and stuff of maybe some of the live-action shows and what we're hoping for our future seasons. And, let's get talking about this list. And I'm starting from the bottom of their list, which is, they have here, Young Justice is at the bottom. And I'll start off this one. I think this cartoon was really cool. This was definitely like, it had that feel of those Bruce Timm cartoons like Justice League Unlimited and Batman Beyond and all that, but I think even taken to the next level. And it's a show that you can watch on Netflix, and I'm hearing a lot of people are trying to support the show on Netflix a lot, because this is a show, it was canceled after season 2. And it had a cult following that still to this day, remember, it got canceled in 2013. Still to this day, people are hoping that a season 3 will happen. So people are trying to push the idea that, hey, watch it on Netflix as many times as you can. So maybe Netflix will see good results and maybe bring the show back, because there are rumors that Warner Brothers Animation might bring it back on Netflix if the show is getting good views. So, Kevin, have you seen the show? What do you think of it?
I think I only seen the first, season 1.5?
Well, you better get your ass on Netflix and start watching it.
Yeah, I'm gonna plan a marathon and watch it all. But from what I've seen, it was actually really, really good.
It was
very enjoyable.
Very well written.
Yeah.
There were a lot of really cool, there's a really cool episode, probably one of my favorite episodes, where they have all 4 Flashes in one episode, that's what makes me want the live action Flash TV series to do, an episode like that, where we have Bart Allen, Barry Allen, Jay Garrick, and Wally West all together in one episode. This show mostly centered on the sidekicks role, on becoming big heroes, and that's why I really... Wally West was the Flash that they focused on the most. Although Bart Allen from the future came in later on. Derek, did you ever get the chance to check out this show? And if so, or if not, well, tell us.
Yeah, I actually haven't checked this show out. I do actually have it on my Netflix list.
Mm-hmm.
Eventual shows that I have to get to, but that list is like ever growing.
Yeah.
After listening to your intro of like how people are trying to get support for the show, definitely it looks like a cool show. Like based on what I've seen so far, it has very good art style.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it gives me kind of a grown up Teen Titans kind of vibe to it. So it might actually be worth for me definitely to go after this podcast and check it out. So I think it looks cool, and if it has more DC history and heroes in it, it'll be actually worth checking out. And it's sad to hear that show was canceled, and I guess people that are listening to the podcast should definitely give it a shot, like myself.
It's definitely, the way it ends though, it ends on this really cool cliffhanger, and it's annoying when a show gets canceled. And this usually happens more with cartoon shows than with the more primetime shows. It ends on a cliffhanger where, I won't spoil it, but it leaves it off in a way where, like, man, I want this third season right now. Why haven't they made this? The good thing also is that it's not too many episodes. I think it's like 26 episodes in total. They did 13 episodes in season 1, 13 in season 2. So, and they're 20 minutes each, right? So I binged it like in 1 week and it was easy.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And Netflix is really providing us with... and there's also other streaming services online.
Yeah.
They provide us with these shows and you could just watch it on demand. You don't have to wait... like until Saturday morning at 9 just to catch it. So it's really cool.
Well, I didn't watch it when it originally aired. I caught it later on. I bought the DVDs and I checked it out because I heard how good it was. And yeah, it's stuff like that that helps a show get rediscovered afterwards. So unfortunately, this show wasn't discovered right away and it should have. So, oh well.
Try to check out the Teen Titans though. Also kind of a similar...
Oh, that one's more kiddie, though, right?
Yeah, maybe this one's a little bit more adult.
This one is more adult, yeah. The writing is definitely, you can tell by the writing. It's especially in season two, it's really well done. Next on the list, we got Batman Brave and the Bold. We'll start off with Kevin on this one. Kev, what did you think of Batman Brave and the Bold? Did you watch it?
Oh, yeah. Enjoyable. that show was a lot of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it was all team up, so a lot of it was like I said, very fun to watch, especially with the team ups.
Yep. I agree with that. This is a really fun show. Very different from your typical Batman. I remember when hearing about it and seeing the intro for it, I thought to myself, man, is this going to be cheesy or something? But it actually turned out to be very funny. It's a very funny show. This show I know is on Netflix, too. I just checked it before we started this. And, I've seen every episode. I enjoyed it all. It lasted, I think, 5 seasons. And definitely gives a lot of the smaller DC heroes, too, a lot of time to shine. DC heroes that you've probably never even heard of before, time to shine. And... there was something else. Aquaman is probably the funniest character on this show.
Oh, yeah.
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 Derek, have you seen Batman Brave and Bold?
I saw a couple episodes, actually. It was very interesting because no other TV show at the time that I was looking at really went into the DC Universe. You saw really a lot of the B-list characters or the characters that I already really realized were there or existed before. And a lot of, again, like Kevin was mentioning, team-ups, you saw a lot of, like, team-ups between different superheroes that you never really see together.
Mm-hmm.
So it was quite interesting, some interesting villains as well. And, yeah, it kind of gives that, Brave and the Bold is, like, the old-school, drawing-style, old-school kind of look and vibe to it that's really, it's a little bit campy, but it's a little bit fun, too. So it's not really too serious.
Yeah, and what did you think of Aquaman on that show?
I didn't really see too many episodes with Aquaman.
Oh, really?
But, was he kind of...
He was hilarious. I loved it. I love Aquaman on that show.
He was hilarious?
Yeah.
Well, maybe I should definitely check a few more episodes out on Brave and Bold. Yeah, I haven't really have seen a lot of episodes, to be honest.
Just here and there.
Yeah, just here and there. I really caught it on TV, but... hey, this is going to be a recurring theme for today's podcast, is those episodes could always be found online on Netflix, on different streaming services. So,
yeah,
definitely also on the list, ever-growing list of mine, to eventually one day check out.
And next on Superhero Hype's list, we got, this is one that I'm sure all of us saw, Justice League and Justice League Unlimited, from producer Bruce Timm, who created Batman the Animated Series and Batman Beyond and Superman the Animated Series. Derek, why don't we start you off with this one? What did you think of Justice League and Justice League Unlimited?
Oh my goodness, one of the best TV shows for animated superheroes. It was really awesome. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed Justice League Unlimited a little bit better than Justice League, to be honest. I really get into Justice League. I don't know why, the storylines just didn't really appeal to me.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you got into Justice League Unlimited, you kind of started seeing story arcs. And it was really cool. Like, it wasn't as kiddie of a show, but it also wasn't a little bit too serious. There wasn't, like, blood or guts or anything.
Yeah.
But it was really adult, and it really, you got to see the whole DC universe. This was, I think DC's really strong in their TV shows. Like, it's something that Marvel didn't really have at that point, and continues. Marvel still continues to struggle with it, but this is really, I would say, something that really got me interested in the Justice League and got me interested in all the characters and really built. It was like this foundation for me in the whole DC knowledge. It was great. It was a lot of good characters, a lot of good team-ups as well. And they had like really huge storylines, you know, with Brainiac, and really huge storylines that with Lex Luthor. And you really got invested with all the characters and got to see big cataclysmic events and learn a lot. So, yeah, definitely one to check out. I don't know if it's on Netflix.
It was on Netflix, or at least the Justice League Unlimited part of it was, but I think they took it down recently.
That's a shame.
Might have to check later.
It's a really good show, and even just going, it's a show that I wouldn't mind going back and rewatching some episodes, because it's really that good. I even remember going on YouTube and just watching a few clips here and there. So it's a great series, and you know, all the characters are really done well. So I don't know, there's not enough praise I could give it. It's definitely, I think, one of the top of the list for sure.
Totally agree with that. What about you, Kev?
I think one of the best superhero cartoons out there, definitely.
You've been
I have it all on DVD. Yeah. I just recently binge watched it, so The Question was awesome, and Justice League Unlimited.
Oh yeah, that Cadmus story arc was one of the best story arcs they've had on the entire any of the Bruce Timm shows, I think. I will also add that I really love that episode where it was a crossover with Batman Beyond. It was a Batman Beyond focused episode on Justice League, and I remember it was kind of a little close to kind of, because Batman Beyond lasted 3 seasons, and because it was from the same creators, they thought, you know, well, why not we give Batman Beyond a nice closing story for that character? And I thought, I don't know if you guys remember this episode. It was one of my all-time, it's probably my all-time favorite episode from all the DC animated shows.
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
What the heck? Anyways. Yeah, it was one of the greatest episodes, I think, and it closed the doors nicely. They even got the actor who did the voice of Batman Beyond to come back, and a lot of old callbacks. I think that was the episode that even had a little cameo of the Mask of the Phantasm in that episode, which was really cool. And, Derek, I agree with everything you said exactly. And, season 1 and 2 aren't as good as Justice League Unlimited. I agree with that a lot. That was because they said, well, I think season 2 is a little bit better, actually. Than season 1, they've admitted that was more of a practice ground because they were trying to understand how the show was going to work. And you see that improvement in season 2. And then, obviously, Unlimited, they go all out with it. And, so there we go. And moving on the list, we have Batman Beyond. I was just talking about that Justice League Unlimited kind of did a little closing story arc for that, closing episode for that show. And, Batman Beyond was a cool one. I remember this was a really big risk for this team, because the team that put the show together, Bruce Timm and his people, I think it was the last show that Paul Dini was heavily involved with, too, with Bruce Timm. And a Batman from the future, you know, old Bruce Wayne guiding this new young kid to become Batman. This was a risky move. I remember somebody in high school, I was in high school at the time, thought that he didn't like it because he didn't think anybody should be Batman, only Bruce Wayne should. And I disagreed with him because I thought the story and the ideas were great from the show, and the plots that they were doing in every episode were very adult, just like Justice League Unlimited. So what did you think, Derek? Batman Beyond.
They kind of addressed that with the whole Batman thing, but I don't want to get into too many spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was actually, again, like you were mentioning, it was a huge risk, and I think it really paid off. It really spun off many great series. It could have crashed and burned. Like, I think there was a Spider-Man 2099
yeah.
that tried to make into a TV show, like Spider-Man.
There was a show that is very similar called Spider-Man Unlimited, I think it was called.
Yeah, which was like the hero in the future, and it just didn't really work because it was a little bit too futuristic, I think,
mm-hmm.
and it just a little bit too off. This one, it still kind of worked. You still kind of, it felt like a little bit more of a modern, updated Earth, and a little bit more of technology here and there, but it didn't overblow it too
yeah.
much. And it was still, it was very good. Good acting, good drawing. Everything was exciting. Good and unique. Different bad guys, and some of them were kind of like homages to old villains, and it still kept Batman in his traditional sense. He didn't seem like too much of an Iron Man,
no.
which I was expecting they might have gone with, but he still had more Batman elements. It's still the it was not the suit that made the hero, it's the person in the suit that actually made the hero. So it was good, and I think, definitely another one that on the list that you should definitely check out if you haven't before. A good storyline, and the comic book series is still going strong, I think, so.
Yeah, Batman Beyond comic books, that's right. I think they killed Terry for a little bit, and now I think Tim Drake is the new Batman Beyond.
Oh, so that's amazing how it integrated in the whole DC universe still.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Kev? What did you think of Batman Beyond?
I enjoyed it. One of those, like you guys were saying, the best adaptation of... not adaptation.
Yeah. This is original, man.
Yeah, it's original. I'm sorry. The best version of, what happens if Batman grew up older and someone took up the mantle.
Yeah.
I think... I remember way back when first started, I was kind of like, oh, I don't know. But as I watched the show, I grew with it and grew to enjoy it. So, yeah.
And, you got to give the show a lot of credit, too, because they didn't... This could have been a show where they could have relied too much on old villains, like, oh, here's Mr. Freeze Beyond, here's Mr. Clayface Beyond, and they didn't rely on that. They actually created a lot of new villains for this particular character, or this particular show, and that's what I thought was really good about it. They didn't rely too much on the past villain stuff.
Although the Joker stuff...
Oh...
That was some of the best.
That was a cool little nod, yeah. And Return of the Joker itself, the direct-to-video was really well done, too. Probably still one of my top 10 favorite DC animated movies.
Like, that blew my mind. That was, like, and we all think about the, like, what would happen if you have these characters in the future? Like, what really goes on when... Batman gets old.
I agree. And I liked it more than the Frank Miller Dark Knight Returns story. I think this story, to me, was a more believable future for Batman than... I can't picture a 70-year-old Bruce Wayne still fighting and kicking ass, I'm sure...
They kind of showed that a little bit. It wasn't like... But they kind of said this is him passing the torch on to someone else.
Yeah.
In a creative way.
Yeah. I actually, it kind of reminded me a little bit also of The Mask of Zorro with Antonio Banderas and Anthony Hopkins. Anthony Hopkins also played an old Zorro who had to pass the torch to someone younger because he was too old. So now we're moving on to Powerpuff Girls. And I'm going to admit this right now. I haven't seen the show. Or I've seen little snippets of it. I never got into it. I think this was... after my time. But what about you, Kev? Did you see this?
only like a couple episodes, and I don't know. I wasn't big on it.
No?
Still kind of not big on it, so I don't have very much to say about it. So,
what about you, Derek?
I have seen it a little bit more than I think you guys. Mostly because at that time it was after school, and there really wasn't a lot on TV, so they kept showing this, and I was like, ah, what the hell, I'll give it a chance. And it was actually quite cool. Like, they had a lot of interesting art style, interesting ways that they created the Powerpuff Girls. It was girly, yes, I agree, but it wasn't too over-the-top girly. It had funny moments, and the three different characters were unique in their own ways, even though they had similar powers. And there's a little bit of a similar animation style from all the other TV shows that were going out. Like, it really looked the same as Dexter's Laboratory.
Yeah, that's right. I remember.
So, it had kind of that kind of vibe going on for it, and it was cool. Like, it had some interesting dark moments to it as well.
Had dark moments?
Yeah, because you see some of them get beat up, and they actually do have just a little trickle of blood just to add the effect.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was quite an interesting aspect of it. It's just, you could check it out. You could watch, I think, probably watching a few episodes.
Well, the fact that Superhero Hype is putting it on their list, it has to be somewhat credible, right?
Yeah, and a lot of women definitely enjoy that show. So I have to definitely tip the hat that, you know, they're going up against a lot of like adversity, because you had like, oh, it's a girl show, like all the guys want to watch it.
Well, that's even today, right? Mm-hmm. There's people still like that. Like, Supergirl right now, right? I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't like that show either because it's a female lead. And I watch that show. I think it's pretty cool. So I think it's the same situation. Yeah.
And for it to rise up and become popular, that definitely is something that
exactly
you could admire about the show. So
I agree.
Check out like one or two episodes. I'm not saying, oh, you have to watch all seasons or like two seasons. Just give it a chance and just see, because it does have very interesting artwork, animation, and style.
And with that being said, we're moving on to the next show, which is the 1997 Spawn TV series. This one, again, I haven't seen, but I'm sure both of you've seen it.
Why, David? Why?
You want to start us off with this one, Derek? What did you think of Spawn?
Like, this was amazing. This show, like, it was a little bit hard for people to check out because it did, I think, debut, like, very late at night.
Yeah.
Like, at the time I was growing up, like, late at night was around midnight. So it was definitely hard to check out. But it was really well done. And it was really followed the comic books, I would say, pretty closely, because I actually was able to read some of the Spawn comic books growing up, and yeah, it had very similar storylines, and it was really dark too. It was dark, it was gritty, it had adult themes. Like, I think even had more adult themes than any of the TV shows we're going to be talking about today. So it was really
well, that's because this one was more rated R or something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it was taking a huge risk again, because it was one of the early onset animation shows in like 1997, and it was rated R, and it was shown late at night, so it had a lot of things going against it, because it just really, a very small audience could really check it out, and I think it was quite successful. I think it was a quite interesting show, had a good storyline. Definitely, I watched, I think, everything, and I wouldn't mind rewatching it today, too, because even the art style is good, and the way that the animation was done was also good. So, definitely, I would say this is one of those hidden gems that if you haven't checked out, you should definitely take a look at, even if it is not a Marvel or DC character.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of its own character. And again, I guess Spawn had really tough movies, and
It had one movie, live-action movie, starring Michael J. White. I don't remember who the director is. I think it was a no-name director, but John Leguizamo was in that live-action movie, too. That's the thing that turned me off Spawn, because I never got into the Spawn comics, maybe that's the reason I didn't watch the TV show at the time, because that movie turned me off.
And they're actually thinking of bringing it back, like Spawn. Like, I heard some rumors online.
Animated or live action?
live action.
Yeah, they've been talking about that for years, though, so who knows when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
How about you, Kev?
I agree with Derek. I only seen, since it was late at night, I only seen like a couple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Or a few. I can't remember.
Well, right, I thought now. You would have watched more than me. Well, you probably still did.
You can find online somewhere, like, yeah, the episodes.
I only seen, like I said, I only seen a few. I can't remember how many, but from what I remember, it was pretty good and enjoyable. But then again, I was also on my Spawn craze at the time, so.
Yeah. And next on the list, we're moving on to Spider-Man, the animated series from 1994. I'll start off this one. I think this show was the best animated show Marvel had done at the 90s. And yes. I really enjoyed this one a lot. And they had it on Netflix a couple years ago. Like 4 or 5 years ago. I don't remember now how long. It's when I started getting Netflix for the first time. It was one of the shows, the reason why I got Netflix was because I found out this show was on there. And then they took it off when I was almost done. Like, I had like maybe 10 more episodes left to go. I was on the episode where Electro was introduced. And I haven't seen that episode in ages. And then they yanked it off right after and I didn't get to finish all of it. But I know there's other ways of getting it, like on YouTube. I know that's the wrong way of watching these shows, but hey, if there's no other way, I'm going to do it that way.
I think Marvel.com has it.
Marvel.com?
Yeah, go check it out. I think it's also free, and you just go on Marvel.com.
I didn't know that.
Don't quote me on that, but I think it's on there.
I'll check that out then. But yeah, this was a great 90s show. And had all the Spider-Man's characters, tons of team-ups. It was a really enjoyable show. What did you guys think of it, Derek?
Oh, it's classic. I would say this show is just one of those shows that I was growing up with, always liked watching, and or even watching old episodes reruns, it was still very enjoyable. And yeah, it was, I think, like you said, one of the most successful Marvel TV shows to date. It was a lot of fun and really brought the Spider-Man franchise to a wider audience, and it really got me interested in Spider-Man, and even the voice actors, you could still, sometimes when I read the comic books, I kind of use the same voice actors in my head.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was great, Peter Parker, and I think it was one of the best versions of Peter Parker, too, because it's him at that moment in time after college.
After, yeah.
And yeah, a lot of great introductions of different Spider-Man characters and comics. They even did a Clones War, kind of, even though not too many people liked
it. Oh, the Secret Wars. Oh, no, the Clone one. I remember which one you're talking about. That was like the final three episodes of the show, yeah. Or the final two episodes.
They also did, like, the Venom was really good, too, and that was kind of, like, my first introduction to Venom.
Yeah.
And I think probably one of the best Venoms out there that I've seen to date. Comic books were good too, but I think this one was actually really good as well. Especially how he deals with Venom and gets rid of Venom. So, all around, a great show to check out if you haven't seen it. And then they expanded on the Spider-Man universe a little bit after with some follow-up shows too. But those weren't really as successful. But, yeah, it's one of the top ones from my childhood as well.
How about you, Kev? What did you think of this one? The 90s.
Shocker!
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 Yes.
One of the best quotes from that show. I agree with Derek. I really enjoyed the show. I remember growing up with it, so Venom was one of my highlights. And when Carnage came as well. I don't know.
Carnage came during the Iron Man crossover.
Yeah.
The Iron Man team up, yeah. Because Iron Man had his own cartoon at the time, too. Iron Man, Fantastic Four, and X-Men all had cartoon. And I think the Hulk...
Yeah.
Hulk might have came after, a year or so after, but yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I really enjoyed that show. Mm-hmm.
And next on the list, we move on to The Tick. The Tick, I've seen maybe a few episodes. I don't remember The Tick too much, so I'm going to leave this one to you guys. Kevin, what did you think of The Tick? I know you have this one on DVD. judging by your laughing, I'm guessing you love it.
Yeah. This show is definitely one of those shows that you watch and you kind of like scratch your head and laugh at the same time.
What about you, Derek? Have you ever seen it?
Maybe like one episode. All I remember is Spoon!
Spoon? Kevin already knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all I remember from The Tick. They also have like a live action.
They had a live action one too, which I'm hearing their Amazon, I think, is going to revive it on their download streaming service. So if you're a fan of The Tick, keep an eye out for that.
Tick is his own character. He's his own universe, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's probably why a lot of fans didn't really understand him, and it was a little bit too...
It's very comedic. Crazy. Yeah, crazy.
It's like Ace Ventura in the superhero.
He was a satire, I think, I believe.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. And next on their list, they have X-Men, the animated series. This one we're all very aware of. It was obviously the one that came to... It was Fox's way of rivaling Batman, the animated series. What did we think of this cartoon? Kev, you want to start off?
I don't remember too much, but I remember enjoying the show as a child. I was more of a fan of the later one.
X-Men Evolution?
Yeah, the one with Nightcrawler, where they're in high school.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I took a shine to this show.
What about you, Derek?
And who could forget the intro music? Classic, you know? That's something really cool. I think everyone could associate X-Men with that intro music. And then it was a good show. And I saw a couple episodes here and there. I didn't really see too many story arcs or remember too many story arcs, but I remember Wolverine was... Also, like, that was the first time I saw Wolverine.
Hold on.
They did also really good Wolverine.
Wait, 1 minute. Episode. Hold on.
What?
Hold on.
Previously on X-Men. There you go.
Okay, continue. Had to do that once.
It was cool. It was a good introduction. The art style was kind of a little bit dated. But especially compared to some of the other TV shows that I felt the art style wasn't as strong. Or you could disagree with me on that one. But yeah, like Kevin said, X-Men Evolution seemed to be a little bit better to me. Mm-hmm. A little bit more of a story arc cohesive. And it was just different. It was what I wanted to see the X-Men in kind of a high school setting because they are students.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of parodies as well with the X-Men TV show. And then they carried that over to the movies, remember?
Yeah.
The spin-off, bitch!
Yeah, that's right.
So, it has a good cult following, and I don't know if you could catch it anywhere, but...
Oh, it's all out on DVD, I know that, because I own them all.
So, check a couple episodes out, it's really... It's fun. And I guess maybe it provided the basis line for the X-Men movies.
Yeah. I'm going to admit this, I wasn't a huge fan of this cartoon growing up, mostly because the animation bothered me a lot. I was more of a fan of X-Men Evolution, the one I think all of us can agree was more superior in terms of story arcs and all of that. And yeah, I agree with you guys. I like that X-Men more than this one. But this one was cool too. I'm not going to deny it. I'm not going to say, oh, it was a terrible show. No, it was good. It was nicely written once in a while. Personally, my favorite episode of it wasn't even on that show. It was on Spider-Man, the animated series. It was the crossover with X-Men and Spider-Man. That was my favorite episode. But anyways, moving on. The last one on their list that they have, this is a no-brainer. If you guys weren't expecting this, I don't know. Batman, the animated series. This is the classic. This is the king of all these shows. And so it's no surprise to me that this is the top of their list. This has so many great episodes, this show. It's the one that started off Bruce Timm's DC animated universe that connects Justice League, Batman, and Superman, and Batman Beyond. I said Batman, whatever. But anyways, yeah, so many great episodes. Mark Hamill as the Joker, Kevin Conroy as Batman. What did you guys think of this? Derek?
Oh, I think it's so hard to describe this. We could literally have an entire podcast just on this TV show. Mm-hmm. Like, it was really...
One day we might have to.
There's so many great things about this TV show. Like, again, every time I read comic books or think of Batman, I always hear Kevin Conroy's voice. Mark Hamill is the Joker. His voice, his laugh was just iconic. And a lot of people would just wish these voice actors don't get old because mm-hmm. their voices are just so amazing and everyone just loves it so much. A lot of great episodes, a lot of great villains, a great introduction to Batman that really made Batman extremely popular with everybody. Great foundations for movies. They created new characters like Harley Quinn. The reason is because of this show. They created that character on that show and it just morphed into all of comic books and TV shows and now movies. So it's just, I don't know what else I could say. If you haven't seen it, probably living under a rock, who knows.
Or you're too young. Born after the 2000s.
Or you're too old. But definitely this is like the pinnacle. This is what, it won so many awards. DVD releases, many classic editions. And yeah, it's just one of the all-time best, all-time greatest. I don't think any other animation TV show will have probably surpassed this. Who knows?
What about you, Kev?
I'm in agreement with Derek. This show, I remember as a child and growing up and watching it, and it was just really, really, really good. I couldn't get Mark Hamill as the Joker was really good. I loved a lot of the villains' origin stories, like the...
Some of them didn't get origin stories. Like, the Joker didn't get an origin story in that show.
Joker doesn't need an origin story.
Yeah, it's Penguin doesn't either.
No. I didn't really like the Penguin at first. I liked the Penguin later on when he gets the...
In the revamp show.
The revamp show. And what's it called? Nightclub?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was better than he was in the beginning. But, Killer Croc was really, I remember, was enjoyable. Who else was up? Mad Hatter.
Riddler. Cyclops. Riddler was really cool. Riddler I hope they do in the live-action versions now, if they ever do. Like, the more serious, smart-ass Riddler, I like that version. Mr. Freeze, obviously.
Mr. Freeze was the best.
Poison Ivy, all of them were great. And before we move on to other subjects, what is your favorite episode from Batman the Animated Series? We have to talk about this at least once. Favorite episode, Derek, you go first.
Oh, you really put me on the spot. There's like so many good ones. It's just hard to really...
You want
to
save this for another episode? We can.
Maybe
we'll talk a whole episode about Batman the Animated Series. That way it gives us a week...
chance to like rewatch some of the episodes.
Exactly. Okay, maybe we'll talk about it another time then. I already knew my favorite episode.
What's your favorite?
My favorite is the one... It was in the revamp version. The revamp is the one where they changed the designs around. It was an episode called... I forgot what the episode title's called, but it's a dream episode where Batman and his team are on the run. Commissioner Gordon is after them.
Oh.
You know what episode I'm talking about, Ken.
Yeah, I know.
And it at
Breaked
the end,
Batcave.
He breaks into the Batcave. He's trying to arrest Batman. He already knows his identity, all this stuff. Obviously, by the end of the episode, we find out that Batgirl was under the influence of Scarecrow's toxins, and that's what happened. So she was dreaming it the entire time. But it was such a well-done episode and made you think, holy shit, what the hell is going on here? Did I miss an episode? It was so good that, you know, it stands out to me the most of any episode from the show. There's a lot of really good episodes, but that one was probably my favorite.
Not to plug another podcast, but I remember Kevin Smith did a podcast all about this TV show, and it actually was a really interesting, great podcast to listen to, mm-hmm. like that episode, and it was just, he talked about that episode.
Yeah.
It's one of his all-time favorite episodes.
I'd be surprised if it's not on anybody's list, on their top 10 at least.
Yeah, we could all remember that episode actually very clearly. So
it is an episode that kind of cops out at the end, because it's like, but it makes sense. It has to be one of those type of endings. You couldn't continue the series with all of that going down the drain, you know? Like, Batman's identity uncovered, Commissioner Gordon wounds are, like, broken and shit like that. Like, yeah, you would have to say it was a dream. So, now we move on. Or, before we move on, is there any other animated superhero shows that you guys would put on this list?
Well, we were talking about a few, just Ninja Turtles, wasn't that one?
Ninja Turtles, the 80s Turtles, I would say more. Because that was the one that I enjoyed the most, that I would put on this list for sure. Even, I'm surprised Superman, the animated series, didn't make it on the list. I thought that was a cool cartoon as well. And there was the Batman cartoon from...
That was really good too, actually.
The Batman, right?
Yeah.
You know which one I'm talking about.
The
first season didn't start off too strong, but once you get into the second season and onwards, especially the last season where they started introducing the other DC superheroes one by one, that was a really cool season. I thought that show, I'm surprised it didn't make the list either. I think that one goes a little bit unnoticed sometimes. What about you, Kev? Any animated shows you would like to add on the list?
No.
No? You thought it was good? How about you, Derek?
There was, like, Iron Man. You remember that one?
The 90s one, or...?
Yeah, there was a couple Iron Man.
Yeah.
90s.
I remember the 90s one.
What else is there?
There was a newer Avengers cartoon that was actually pretty good. I think it was called... I don't know if it's that one or Earth's Mightiest Heroes. I get confused with them.
I think that one's the newer one, Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Maybe it was Assemble then.
Is there any, like, Marvel ones that were actually really good?
The 90s, the Marvel ones didn't really impress me too much, except for Spider-Man. It was after the 2000s, there were some pretty good ones. The Ultimate Spider-Man, which is the current Spider-Man cartoon, I actually think that one's pretty enjoyable. It's kind of like Batman Brave and the Bold, where it's more wacky and crazy, but it's there's a lot of crossovers that are really fun. There's a Deadpool crossover, too, in that.
Okay, now I'm thinking of great shows.
And a Guardians of the Galaxy. There's a Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon right now. I don't know how it is, but...
It's actually good. I checked out one or two episodes.
I can't believe we live in a world where there's a Guardians of the Galaxy cartoon. Oh my god. That's amazing.
They had a rake in money from that movie. It was doing actually quite well.
I'm not surprised.
Well, guys, we really forgot about a lot of stuff. What about reboots?
Reboot? Was that superhero related, though?
No, but in terms of, like, an animation TV show...
As an animation TV show, it was really cool.
Yeah, you gotta acknowledge Reboot. And what about Beast Wars?
Beast Wars I love, too, yeah. If we're gonna go non-superheroes, just, like, cool cartoons, well, then we can even bring in the comedy aspects, and I'll say Animaniacs was one of the greatest animated cartoons of the 90s.
Yeah. I guess maybe superhero hype was more focused on...
Superheroes.
Superpowered. Yeah, superheroes kind of thing.
Yeah.
So maybe that's another episode we gotta talk about. Just
Gargoyles was another really cool show from the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Gargoyles. Disney had a lot of them from the 90s that were Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers and DuckTales and Darkwing Duck. I mean, yeah, Disney was rolling it in the 90s.
What happened to TV, guys?
Who knows?
What do these kids now have?
SpongeBob SquarePants?
Angry Birds?
Angry Birds. What show we keep forgetting? The Ninja Turtles.
We've talked about the Turtles.
Did we?
We talked about the 80s one anyways.
I'm talking about the 2000s.
Yeah.
They have a new one. Yeah, they have a lot of...
They have another one now, too, yeah. Okay, so now we're moving on. Let's move on, guys. We gotta move on because this is gonna be too long if we don't. There's been a lot of season finales, a lot of, not just animated superhero TV shows, we got a lot of, you know, live-action ones, too, that we should talk about, specifically one of them, because one of them had an amazing season finale this year, The Flash. Let's talk about The Flash, guys. What did we think of this season finale, And we'll talk about the little tease for next season after we put our thoughts on this season finale. I know we all saw it now.
Yes.
Derek, you even texted me telling me you saw it and thought it was great. Tell me your thoughts on the season finale.
Well, just first of all, Flash is an amazing TV show.
Yes.
Really good, really well done. I think we're in the age of live action, like superhero TVs and movies. Season finale was great. It was fantastic. There was a lot of interesting elements to it, but I think what really everyone really remembers is the ending. And the ending where you had, first of all, Flash defeating Zoom, and then Zoom getting taken away by those Reaper ghosts. And then I was looking online because I was very interested to learn more. And they actually think this will develop into a new character called like the Black Flash, which is like a character in the Speed Force that he usually gets summoned when it comes for a speedster to die.
Yeah, I was reading about that.
Yeah, I didn't really notice right away. Like when I saw the episode and I saw his face turn into kind of like a skull, I thought, oh, this is like a homage to like the Blackest Night, or he's like the Blackest Night Flash, or something. Like, that's really the vibe that I got. And then you had, obviously, the ending, which I guess we're going into full spoilers here, right? Pretty much. Obviously, Flash going back in time, because his father has died in the previous episode, and he's overcoming a lot of grief, and he really feels that he can't move on. So he goes back in time and saves his mom. And again, which we were all thinking about, and I think I saw a tweet from you, it's like it's the Flashpoint paradox. They might bring elements of that storyline or story arc into the next season where everything will be changed, everything will be different just because Barry went back in time and made that ultimate decision, like a selfish decision. So,
from what I heard, that it won't affect, well, we don't really know yet, but it's not supposed to affect the whole DC universe, just the Flash right now. I'm going to guess that it's going to...
This would be like a nice reset button for all the TV shows.
It would be, wouldn't it? Especially since Supergirl is like coming to the CW. It would allow it to kind of... Hey, maybe this is our way of putting it now in continuity with on the same Earth with the rest of them, you know? There's different ways they could do this, but... I don't think it will reset everything. I think that would confuse all the audiences of all the different shows.
This is like the Avengers, man. This is the Avengers on TV.
No, I agree.
This is the reset button. This is like the cataclysmic event.
Oh, shit.
Dude.
What about you, Kev? What did you think of the Flash season finale?
I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. The race between Zoom was interesting. How Barry was, you know, very upset about the death of his father.
Yeah.
Iris.
Iris.
Iris, the best love interest on any of these superhero TV shows, definitely, yeah, right now, is Iris.
Yeah, I agree. Now I'm a little weary because now they're. It seems like they're going to reset things. So, will that continue to happen, or are they going to do the Flashpoint paradox?
That's the theory on everybody's mind. And Grant Gustin, he kind of tweeted something denying that it will. I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm like, yeah, right, buddy. You know what's going to happen. So, I don't know.
Flashpoint. Gotham will be brought in. Come on, guys.
Anything could happen, man. Anything could happen.
Gotham.
Oh man, if they get Gotham somehow. The problem is, how do you do Gotham? Since, like, Gotham is at the exact same time as Supergirl. It's on Monday nights at 8 o'clock. So, like, that would conflict.
People know, like, they record the episodes.
That's true. That's what I do, right? I record both, and I pick one to watch one day and pick one to watch the next week, and... whatever, right? So I watch both of them at the same time. Just I watch whatever episode, whatever show after the other one finishes. So, but that's kind of a good lead-in, I guess. So wait, before we move on, So we're all in agreement that we all think Flashpoint Paradox is going to be happening, right?
Think so.
Okay.
We don't know.
But we don't know, but it seems pretty likely.
Yeah.
Yes. So, I guess we can now move on to Gotham then. Gotham, you know, ended. Did you get the chance to watch Gotham, Derek? Do you still watch it?
I fell off Gotham a little bit, but I still have TV shows being recorded.
Okay.
It's a good show. Like, I'm not going to lie. It still has its worthiness and its merit. But, I don't know. It kind of hit or miss sometimes, and I think that's probably why I just kind of given up on it and went on to other TV shows mm-hmm. that I kind of missed or I wanted to check out. So
you didn't think this season was an improvement over last season?
I know, it was good. It was an improvement, but it wasn't enough to keep me watching it. And yeah, no, it was very interesting, and there still is good characters and a lot of good stuff about it. But there's a person in my work, he's really into comic books, that he has a storage closet
with
lock boxes of comic books. So he's serious about it. And even him says, like, I just wish we could just fast forward and get on to more interesting things. Like, he just hates this young Bruce thing, and I kind of agree with him on that.
At the beginning, I would have agreed. But this season, I think they've been handling Bruce pretty well, that I'm okay with it. I think this season has been done really well entirely. Like, I think they even fixed the Barbara. I think, you know how Barbara was so messed up in the first season? I think they kind of embraced that, because I was saying, they should just turn her into a female Joker. I still think they could turn her that way, because she's still, they've embraced the fact that she's went psycho. And they've been treating her like Harley Quinn in a lot of ways. So, I don't know. I would like them to turn her into the Joker. Just make her... I wouldn't mind a female Joker for this show. It's a different version. It could go any way it wants.
And
why not?
Isn't that similar to what the comic books have now?
Funny enough, Flashpoint Paradox, Bruce's mother becomes the Joker. In the Flashpoint Paradox alternate reality. It wasn't Barbara, but it's the similar idea, though, right? It's the idea that a female Joker, someone goes crazy because she snaps one day.
But isn't the whole comic books currently, I was reading somewhere that James Gordon's son went crazy, too.
Oh, I didn't know that, so...
Yeah, so I kind of like, oh, this is probably like the origin of that.
Maybe. It could be. It's possible. What about you, Kev? Gotham. Oh, the question I want to ask, not about Gotham, but the season finale. This is going to bring in a little bit of spoilers. Are you okay with that, Derek?
It's okay. Let's do it.
We're going to go into spoilers with some of these season finales. We find out at the end, Dr. Hugo Strange created a bunch of monsters, and they're all released throughout Gotham at the very end, and we find out that there is a kid with these other creatures that looks exactly like Bruce. And there are theories online right now going on who this kid could be. And one of the biggest ones is that maybe this is a kid that Thomas and Martha Wayne had, but they gave him away at some point for some reason. I don't remember the exact theory.
Hush.
Yes, I think it was like Hush. I think that's what they were hinting at. So, you guys excited about this idea, or what?
Sounds interesting. Like, definitely gets the show propelling forward. And I actually remember watching Hugo Strange when he was first unveiled. And he seemed like a very, like, well-acted, like, this is the best live-action Hugo Strange.
Yeah.
Maybe even animated.
I think he's the only live-action Hugo Strange right now.
The best version of Hugo Strange, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe aside from the comic books. But he was spot on.
He was, yeah. What did you guys think of Mr. Freeze, though, Kev?
Oh, I enjoyed Mr. Freeze. I'm so glad they went with that one instead of the more criminal, just hitting up things for money.
Yeah.
I like the one where you feel more sympathy towards him because he's trying to save his wife.
I saw that episode too. It was a good episode.
Yeah. And what about the Joker, Jerome? well, we don't know if he's really the Joker, but he's definitely the one that starts the fire for inspirations to come.
Was he brought back, or
No, it was only in those first three episodes.
That was great. Those episodes were actually... Yeah, they had a lot of good parts about the season. So definitely, even though I didn't keep up with it too much, like the more later episodes, I thought that was really interesting to see, and you got multiple personality Jokers everywhere.
Yeah. I thought it was really well done. And... Well,
in the comic books now, they are trying to reveal the identity of the Joker.
Yeah, I heard about that. I heard.
Reading that there's three Jokers. So that's kind of weird how now in the comic books and now the TV show, how's that going to work? Or is the TV show is going to be its own universe now?
I agree. And what other TV shows we also have here? We have Arrow, which has been going. And okay, I'll start off this one. Arrow season 1 and 2 are brilliant seasons. Season 3 started dropping the ball a little bit. Season 4, I'll say that I like it a little bit more than Season 3, but it's still not up there with Season 1 and 2. But they do give us something to hopefully maybe look forward to. I don't know. Let's just put it this way. There's a lot of fans right now hating on Arrow right now, especially when the episode where they killed off... Derek, I don't know if you're caught up with Arrow.
Not really, but go ahead. Spoilers, I think...
They killed Black Canary, Laurel.
Oh, I've seen that episode.
Okay, good. And that's when the backlash really started, that even the actors and the producers and the writer themselves have been being attacked by a lot of fans online. And it's like one fan said, you know, we're only attacking, we're only angry because we want this show to be good. I feel the show isn't as bad as people are making it out to be. I think once in a while we do get a really bad episode, but there's still some really good episodes within there. And they are, what I want to talk about for Arrow, instead of talking about the season, because I think we're all on the same page about... more or less on what the how the show is right now.
Too much Damien Dark, guys.
That's what Stephen Amell has been saying right after I did my review. He said the exact same thing I did. This show needs to go back to being grounded to reality. Because that's what I think made the first two seasons really good. I think they should get away from the magic stuff, the superpowered stuff. Let that stuff be The Flash. Let that be Supergirl. Let that be Legends of Tomorrow. Arrow needs to be grounded and stick to more grounded villains. What do you guys think?
Well, here's what I think. You remember, I don't know, you guys probably seen Daredevil on Netflix.
Yes.
Not to compare shows, but I remember watching Daredevil and I really wish this was Arrow. Like, Arrow was this dark and gritty, and it would actually be a little bit more of an improvement.
Well, Arrow Season 1 and 2 didn't need to be that dark and gritty to be an improvement. It was dark enough, I thought. And it's also on cable television, right? So they're not going to be able to do the blood and guts like Daredevil's allowed to do. So I think what they're able to do, if you go back and watch Season 1 and 2, they're pretty good. They're really good seasons. I was just rewatching Season 2 today and yesterday and realizing, man, this is what the show needs to go back to. Because that's what I thought made it good. Kev?
Yeah, I fully agree. I agree with, what's his name right now, the actor?
Stephen Amell.
Stephen Amell.
Because that's what he said also.
Yeah,
and people love Stephen Amell. I was even reading a Facebook comment that somebody wrote to Stephen Amell saying that, hey, this is not the actor's fault. All the actors that are on the show, they're just doing their job. The problem right now is the writing. And I'll agree with that comment. I'll say that much, that there's one producer in particular, the producer of the show, not Greg Berlanti and Andrew Kreisberg are the two main producers, right? But they're too busy focusing on Supergirl and Flash, and they're busy focusing on too many other shows right now, that the guy they left in charge is a producer named Mark Guggenheim. And he is the one in charge of the story, has been heavily in charge since they've been focusing on other shows, those other two. And you can tell in the writing, especially recently, they've been really pushing Elicity. You know what Elicity is, right? That's combining Oliver and Felicity's name together. And ever since Felicity and Oliver have gotten together, it's been bugging a lot of fans. And the thing that pissed off people the most, that you can kind of tell that the producer right now, the one who's heavily in charge, is poking at people, poking at the fans, and saying, fuck you, we're going to do this show the way we want, is at the end of the finale, after Diggle and spoilers, sorry, Derek, so if you haven't seen it yet, I'm sorry. Where after Diggle and Thea and all those guys, they left, they went their separate ways, Felicity comes out and Oliver asks her, oh, you haven't left, I thought you would have left too. And she looks at the camera, and this is where the writers were talking to the fans, oh, I'm not going anywhere. So that, and in my opinion, I thought Felicity should have left also. I'm like, no, everybody should have left, even her. But clearly the writers want to keep her there to show people, like, no, we don't care. We like this couple also. That's why we killed off. And that's what a lot of people were kind of angry about Laurel being killed. Because when Laurel, one of her last things that she was talking about was how Oliver and Felicity should be together. And fans were like, wait, what? You're killing this character off. And instead of making it about her, you're talking about Felicity? That's what pissed off a lot of fans. From
isn't in the comic books, it's supposed to be...
It's supposed to be Arrow and Black Canary, yeah. Now, I don't mind changes. And I don't think... I think people are over-exaggerating a little bit about Felicity. I don't think she's as bad this season as she was last season, when she was becoming all mopey and crying and all that crap. I think this season they did an improvement on Felicity, but other people don't seem to think so. They don't like the change of this relationship, that it should have been Laurel. And you know what? I admit that they seem to be fixing Laurel a lot this season. She was a lot more tolerable than she was in any of the first three seasons. And season three, she started becoming more enjoyable, but season four, I was really enjoying the character. There was not a lot of moments where I was like, oh, Laurel, shut up, you know? This season...
One or two.
Yeah, season two specifically. Season two, she was the dumbest. I was just watching an episode, but thankfully they didn't use her too much in those in season two. Only when she popped up. But anyways, yeah, it was like season four was probably Laurel's best season. And but here's what gives me hope is that in season five, if you guys watch The Flash, which obviously we're all caught up on The Flash. There is an episode where the Flash runs into Laurel, but it's Laurel from Earth 2.
Yeah.
Her name is Black Siren. And now someone was telling me on a message board that Black Canary in the comics originally came from Earth 2. So could this... yeah, that's what someone told me online. So I don't know how true that is or what the strings are attached on that, but...
one kind of becomes good again, and she changes her ways.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe Laurel from Earth 2 will become good. Maybe she'll become the Black Canary. Maybe that's their way of bringing Black Canary back. Because they had to have known that that would piss off the fans. They had to know, the hardcore comic book fans, you know? They had to know that that would piss them off. They had to have a backup plan just in case that didn't go through.
Yeah.
So, okay, with that being said, I think we talked enough about Arrow. Let's move on. And we have a few other shows. Let's talk about these two shows. Supergirl is coming to the CW. Legends of Tomorrow is coming back for season two. They're going to bring in the Justice Society of America. Derek, do you watch Legends of Tomorrow?
So, I did start off watching Legends of Tomorrow. I guess... because mostly it was like the same creators from The Flash and Arrow, so I'm going to check that out. But I know I just dropped it.
It gets better once it gets to season 5, I mean episode 5 or 6.
It just is too much like Vandal Savage, we gotta hunt Vandal Savage, the same thing over and over.
Yes, yes. It was more of standalone episodes rather than a good, strong story arc, which they said next season there will be a more stronger story arc.
That's, I think, what killed it for me. It's just like, okay, I'm getting bored of you guys just copying different timelines, Vandal Savage escapes, and then that's it, and then blah, blah, blah. Like, I think they had something interesting. The only interesting thing, I think, was the death of one of the co-members. Like the,
oh, Hawkman? Or was it after? More after?
There was the death. There was that fight, and then wasn't the
Captain Cold?
Captain Cold.
Oh, so you made it towards the end, then.
I did a little bit, but then...
Because that's towards the end.
It just... I don't know. I'm trying to, like, think of giving up on it, because it's just too much.
Oh, so you weren't still brought in by the end of it. I thought by episode 6, where they showed the future Green Arrow episode, which a lot of people say it was the best episode of Arrow that wasn't even on Arrow this season. I don't know if... Yeah, I don't know. But anyways...
They're just ripping on Arrow. That's all.
I think so. I think there were a lot of good episodes this season on Arrow. But yeah, I like this season. I thought I agree with you that the story kind of felt a little repetitive once in a while. And okay, yeah, they're going to different times. But I thought that was the fun stuff about it. And I thought the season finale was really good. And the fact that they're setting up now the Justice Society of America for next season... I'm willing to give the show another go. What about you, Kev?
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I'm willing to give it another go. I thought the first season was pretty good.
And Vandal Savage was also a really cool villain, I thought, as well.
Yeah. A good, good adaptation of him.
Yeah.
I think, was it his first live act?
Yeah, first live-action version of... Just like Hugo Strange was the first live-action version. And what about Supergirl on the CW now? They already announced that there is going to be a mega crossover. You know how December is usually the Arrow Flash crossover events? They've been doing it for this season and last season. Well, this December, they already announced that there will be a four-way crossover... Yeah, with Supergirl, The Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. We're going to see a 4-day crossover with those shows. And that's going to be their TV Justice League. Too bad Gotham isn't part of it, because that would have been freaking amazing, too, to get Gotham somehow involved. But that would be more trickier, I guess. You would have to time.
We all travel back in time.
Yeah, I guess so. Especially with Flash and Legends, you can do it that way, but... either way, I'm still very excited about this crossover event. I'm excited that the show is coming to the CW because a lot of people think it would fit better there than it did on CBS. Do you guys agree with this or no?
I guess if they're going to make everything into a crossover and kind of unite the DC universe, it's a smart idea.
Mm-hmm.
But then I guess some other cable TV shows were like, hey, but we want to have some superheroes on our... you know, primetime programming. So that's the thing that might piss off some other cable TV networks. And then they want, obviously, creative freedom on their character. So, mm-hmm. I don't know.
How about you, Kev? Excited to see Supergirl on CW with the other shows?
Yeah, I'm glad it's coming back for season 2. I really enjoyed the season 1.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully
they bring back Constantine. The Arrow Constantine crossover was a lot of fun. And obviously the Flash and Supergirl crossover was a lot of fun too.
Constantine suffered from the writing though.
Yeah, the Constantine show was a little boring to me. It was alright, it was okay, but yeah, I agree with you, Derek.
It just suffered. Like, the first episode was really well done, and then it just kind of lost it.
Yeah.
It's a shame, because he is a good actor.
And, yeah, that's why a lot of people are hoping maybe... Because Legends of Tomorrow has this rotating thing where some of the characters left at, by the end of the season. Hawkgirl and Hawkman left at the end of season one.
What?
Yeah, they have to make room for the Justice Society, man. So a lot of people are hoping that maybe Constantine can come over to Legends. Who knows? Anything can happen.
All right, bring at least some more fans back into Legends.
Let's go into the final two shows that I want to talk about. Because they also aired this season. Daredevil Season 2 and Jessica Jones Season 1. What do you guys think of these two shows?
We're talking about both of them?
Yeah, sure.
This is like...
Okay, let's talk about Jessica Jones first, since that aired first. That was last November. So what did you guys think of Jessica Jones?
I first didn't know what to think. Like, I wasn't really excited for it. I wasn't really, you know, interested in it at all. And it just seemed like, oh, it's a Marvel Supergirl that is a little bit dark and gritty. It's going to be like Daredevil. So that's, I guess, their main selling point. And then, at first, I didn't really watch it. I didn't have Netflix at the time. And a friend watched it. He said it was really good. And he kind of said, like, her main villain tells people what to do, and they are forced to do it.
Kilgrave, that's it.
Kilgrave, yeah. And
probably the best Marvel TV villain so far, in my opinion.
That was like just an interesting idea. I was like, I can't believe I haven't heard of that before.
It was played by a former Doctor Who.
Yes, it was. So you got some of that up. And that was actually before I even got into a little bit Doctor Who, so that was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was okay. It was all right. I wouldn't say it was one of my top up there.
I'll say it after. Sorry, go.
It was an okay show, and I don't know if I'll give season two a chance though. That's the thing.
I actually like I actually enjoyed Jessica Jones more than season one of Daredevil. Season 2 of Daredevil, however, is a different story entirely. We'll talk about that after Kevin gives his thoughts on Jessica Jones. Kev?
I enjoyed it.
What, Kevin?
No, I was struggling with my words. I was like, what do I say?
It was cool, man.
Yeah, it was a really cool show. I actually was, what's the word? Didn't expect it to be as good as it was.
But did you enjoy it more than Daredevil, or...?
To be honest, I think I enjoyed more of Daredevil than this one.
I agree with that.
So I'm on the other side.
But she was a kick-ass character, you know, like, really...
Yeah.
She was great. And the guy who played his bum, you guys are... You know her bum friend?
Yeah,
he was a former Power Ranger actor, so that was really cool on my part. I thought that was cool. That
Black Ranger?
He was a Red Ranger. The black actor, the actor's name is Ika Darville. He played, you know, her neighbor friend in the apartment she was living in.
Okay, I kept getting older.
He played a Red Ranger in Power Rangers RPM. So I just thought it was cool to see an actor. It's funny that two actors from that season are pretty not big, but they're doing really well for themselves right now. One is on Jessica Jones, and the Yellow Ranger from that season is actually the star on iZombie, which, funny enough, is a show based off DC Comics, which I'm guessing none of us watch.
No, I haven't seen.
Not really.
I've seen only the pilot episode of iZombie. Mostly because I heard it was based off DC Comics, so I thought, okay, I'll check it. And it's on the CW also, funny enough. So the CW is going all... But I hear a lot of good things about it. A lot of people apparently like it. But the pilot episode... The pilot episode didn't really grab me too much, so I didn't watch the rest. So... There we go.
There's like Z Nation. There's like so many zombie shows.
Zombies, oversaturated with zombies.
Yeah.
What about Daredevil Season 2, though? Did we love that? Oh, I'll start off this one. I love Daredevil Season 2 even more than Season 1. And, so that's what I gotta say on that. I thought the Punisher was a great addition. What did you guys think of it? Derek?
It's awesome. Like, it was a really good show, really good movie, and it felt like a movie. Like, every single episode was just really well done, and you had a lot of good special effects, blood and gore and guts again.
That's what you get with the Punisher coming onto the show, too.
Punisher was a really good actor. He was the same actor from
Shane.
Shane. So it was great, and seeing the different dynamic about the two different characters. You have the Punisher that says, "I want to bring justice by, you know, doing the same thing that what the bad guys do to us," and then you have Daredevil saying, like, "No, we should really try to bring justice to them." And so they had that dynamic again. That roof scene where they're both talking about points was one of the standout episodes.
One of my favorites, yeah. One of my favorite moments. I was talking to Simon about that. He said he didn't like that moment. I'm like, it's too cliched. I'm like, what are you talking about, too cliched? You never have a conversation like that in any superhero movie.
Yeah.
But anyways, whatever. What about you, Kev? Daredevil Season 2. Did you like it more than Season 1?
Yeah. I actually enjoyed it more. I mean, I was going to say that just between Jessica Jones and Daredevil, this was maybe a bit better.
Mm-hmm.
Because I did really enjoy Jessica Jones, but I don't know, I seem to gravitate more towards Daredevil. But yeah, really love the Punisher aspect in there, and the Elektra as well.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed Elektra.
Yeah, that's right. We didn't even mention Elektra. Yeah, she was really good in this.
She's hot.
Even better than Jennifer Garner, I thought.
Definitely. Yeah, Jennifer Garner seemed kind of...
She was hot too, though. Don't
this one seemed more of an Elektra.
Authentic, yeah. She seemed
like exotic looking.
She felt more Greek than Jennifer Garner.
Yeah,
I agree with that. And then I guess the final show I should add into this conversation, or else I'll feel bad forgetting about it. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Derek, I know you don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been really good, and it looks like they have a really nice setup for next season. That Sky, do you remember Sky, Derek, or did you not watch enough of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to know who that?
I didn't give it a chance. I'm sorry.
Oh,
guys.
I see. So you didn't watch even one episode then?
I would think maybe the first episode.
You had to have watched the first episode.
Yeah, the pilot. But it didn't really grip me as much, and then I didn't really give it a chance. And then after it came, all the fans saying it sucked and it wasn't really good.
Yeah, because
so I kind of sorry. It just
no, don't be sorry, because a lot of people felt you're like that in the beginning. That the first season did suck. It was season 2 and onward, especially season 3 now, where I think the show is really blossoming now. So it's the show's fault, if anything, that... Because you need to have that strong start.
Yes.
Because that's what Arrow and The Flash did right? People gravitated towards them right away because The Flash and Arrow started off amazing.
If you don't start off amazing, you kind of kill the show.
Exactly. Same thing with Daredevil and Jessica Jones. And that's what the problem with... People say Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is very similar to Gotham, where both of them had weak starts, but they got better as the next season came along. That's how it happened.
Then I don't know, like Agent Carter kind of got canceled too.
Agent Carter. Lots of people liked Agent Carter season 1 though, but for some reason they never came back for season 2. So the season 2 got lower ratings. And people said season 2 wasn't as good as season 1 anyways. I thought it was just as good, but that's just me. But yeah, that was another show that I guess... And Heroes Reborn. What did we think of Heroes Reborn? We should mention that one also.
I saw it. It was okay. It's not like the season 1 of Heroes.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I don't know. I think at the end I started getting a little bit fatigued.
Mm-hmm.
And I started like kind of giving up on it. Even though I think I watched every episode of that Heroes Reborn, it just became a little bit like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm kind of losing interest now.
The same was with me. I kind of was starting to get a little bored by the end of it.
Like, I don't know if I'll check out the next season.
What about What about you, Kev? Well, thankfully, they're not coming back for another season, so...
I'm in agreement. Sorry.
I'm kind of glad it ended. Okay, Kevin's done already.
Sorry. My headset's unplugged.
Oh, I see.
So I didn't get to hear. I said, Heroes, I was going to say, sorry, that Heroes, it was a bit boring, but I still enjoyed it. And what was the other show again?
No, I think
we're talking about Agent Carter.
Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, I also enjoyed them as well, and I am in agreement with David. It got better after season one.
Yeah.
Looking forward for more.
That's definitely a show that I would say skip season one, just go into season two. I guess that's... should we wrap this up, guys? I think we've been talking way longer than I was expecting.
Wait, is those two shows on Netflix, I guess?
Which ones? Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? No, I don't think so. You can check and find out, but...
that could actually help the series.
That would... Oh, especially since Disney now has a deal with Netflix. I'm pretty sure if it's not up yet, it will be eventually sometime this year.
That will help Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. for sure.
I think the deal is supposed to be happening this year, where they announced it recently that Disney will be having all their movies and shows, along with the Marvel and Star Wars stuff all up there, so...
Sweet.
And I guess with that being said, I would talk about Game of Thrones, but we've been missing this entire season.
That's not superhero related.
Yeah, I know. But Game of Thrones, it's awesome. So
we should have talked about Walking Dead then.
Walking Dead I gave up on like season 4. You gave up
on... giving up on the shows that y'all like.
It's hard to keep up with all these shows because there's so many good shows nowadays. It's hard to keep up with all of them.
I do admit that The Walking Dead is getting a little stale. Because they can't just go on forever. And
a lot of people I heard were disappointed with the finale.
It was more of the finale, they wanted to see what happened. They left on a cliffhanger and people were just like, who is it? Who's the one that...
That's what people were annoyed by, yeah, I heard about that.
Gonna die. And I think that's the only thing. But the show's still quite successful. I guess, like I said, yeah, it's coming to a point where I think many people are gonna get Walking Dead fatigue. And I think the show should probably maybe start thinking about wrapping up, or...
I think so, yeah. Sometimes it's good for shows to, like, have an end game, because... I feel like when you don't, you can feel it in the show that, like, that was the good thing about Smallville, you know? Smallville, I thought, had that plan. They knew how it was going to end ever since it started. They knew it was going to end with Clark Kent becoming Superman and flying off. Now, whether people liked the way it was handled is another situation, but... at least it had a plan, so you knew they were going somewhere, and you knew they couldn't go beyond 10 seasons, or else they'd be stretching it, or else we'd be seeing Tom Welling in a wheelchair. I'm old, and I'm not Superman yet, you know? So, I'm glad every show needs to have an end game. They need to plan ahead, I think. And some shows you can feel they do, but then because the station wants to keep it on, like Supernatural nowadays, you know, on going on to season 12, it's like, holy shit, man, how long can they keep this going?
Well, the exception may be The Simpsons.
Even Simpsons, though, some people feel it should have ended a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, I think with all that being said, guys, I think we're going to end it here. I think we'll give our sign-offs. Derek, you want to sign off first?
You could follow me on the interwebs. At Dorico. I don't have much going on, so... See me on the streets.
See him on the streets. Say hi. If you know what he looks like. Follow him at Twitter handle, Derek. What's your Twitter handle?
At Dorico.
At Dorico. And Kevin?
You can follow me at Kevin_Jordale. And check out my website, kevinjordeo.com.
Oh. And me, I am David Jordeo, and you can follow me at YouTube, you know, find David Jordao, or now, because Google allowed me to have a YouTube handle thing, you can type in youtube.com/DavidJordao, and it will take you directly to my my YouTube channel, and you can follow me on Twitter at iCrazyDavy. And with that being said, guys, peace. Take care.
Peace out.
Peace out.